time of the year, I think most of us, you probably see them in the local stores as we get ready to hear in just a few weeks. Our culture in America celebrates Halloween, and you have probably went down an aisle of a store somewhere, or maybe now they have these pop-up stores, and you may have seen something like this. I'll hold one of these up. This is my disguise. If you never see me and Batman in the same place, so that's a Batman mask. Some of y'all don't get that. It's a Batman mask. Here's a Lego toy mask. Now, these masks are real fancy. When I was growing up, we had that mask. It had one little old slit and very little eyes, and it would suffocate and kill you if you wore it more than 10 minutes. But this one, man, this is a fancy one. I had to borrow these. I don't have these at home, by the way. Man, bro, that's what are you doing? But here we see a, how many of y'all know this one when I say a mask, what I mean? When I hold this up, most of us understand what a mask is. I want to start out this lighthearted because as we delve into the scriptures, we see here that it's a very serious thing. We know our Savior here in the Sermon on the Mount, He is just, and as we've spent the last several weeks on the Lord's Prayer, how much more godly can you be than the Lord's Prayer? One of the godliest section, one of the most spiritual, enriching sections in the Word of God. And then the Lord addresses the issue of fasting. Prayer and fasting go together. When we think of fasting this morning, and we could do a whole study on that, it'd be very great to do. We see fasting in the Word of God. The fasting is not dieting. It is not trying to lose weight. It is the abstaining from food or abstaining from even sometimes other things in your life so that you can commit your time and energy to having a season of prayer and of drawing close to God. We see it in the Word of God. We see that God called His people, and we see whenever, many times when there was a serious circumstance, that fasting was something God wanted His people to do, to set aside of focusing on Him, of giving up a meal, giving up some meals, and talking and walking with God closer than we've ever done. It's a very godly thing to do. It's a very spiritual thing to do, but it's also, church, a very private thing to do. In fact, when Jesus was addressed about demons and demon possession, He said, these come forth, but by nothing but prayer and, anybody remember? Fasting. Fasting. It was something very godly and very spiritual about it. Now, a lot of times we say fasting today, you'll hear a diet program say, well, you need to fast for 3 days, or you need to fast for 24 hours to get your diet. That's not what this is talking about. The Lord's talking about fasting. He's talking about drawing close to Him. But within this context, though, He makes, I believe, a very strong statement to those of us today. Whether you fast or whether you've ever fasted, and by the way, I would encourage you, that's a wonderful thing to do. But the Lord says this. He says to them that this is a very private thing. He's saying it is time, right here, He's dealing with an ultimate hypocrisy. He tells them in this, tells these disciples here on the Sermon on the Mount, this teaching, he is saying that you and I are not to put on a show. We're not to disfigure their faces, it says, that they may appear. So we say disfigure and appear. In other words, don't put on a mask on the outside or let everybody know that you're fasting so that you can get some spiritual gain or you can look like you're really something when that's not what that fasting is about at all. Prayer is not about look at me while I pray. Prayer is about seeking God. In fact, the whole Sermon on the Mount is simply this. Depend on me. We don't really like that. It's not popular. It's not cool. It's not necessarily in style. We want a goosebump. We want a feeling. We want some excitement. Oh, man, we want excitement. When God says in His Word that you and I need to depend on Him, to be real about it, to take off that mask and get down. By the way, when you take off a mask, you get down to who you really, really are. It can be uncomfortable. It can be kind of tough. And the Lord deals with us in sometimes an uncomfortable way. And I just kind of surmise this as I looked here where the Lord tells us this. But when thou fast, but when you do, this is what you do. And He's basically saying to us today, and as I read the Sermon on the Mount, and by the way, when you read the Word of God, it is time for us to be real. He's saying, be real about it. Don't go and let everybody know. Look at me, I'm fasting. Look at me, I'm walking with God. He's saying, no, you walk with me because of me, not for to be seen of men. It's convicting. And I want to take that statement, let's get real. And in fact, can we say this? We live in an age of fake. The President of the United States has coined the term fake news. If you and I watch a movie or a television program or watch the news, most of the time we have no idea whether it's real or not. I've been watching with some interest this thing in Las Vegas, and it's got the whole country perplexed. Like, what happened? Where did it go? Do y'all remember a few years ago they had a whole airliner just disappear in the ocean and nobody can tell us anything about it? I mean, we live in a world of fake. How many of I'm talking about? We live in a world where things appear one way, but when you come to find out, they are entirely something else. We live in a time and an age, and I remember watching how they do these commercials for food. They actually spray hairspray on the food to make it shiny so it'll look good in the commercial. And most of us wouldn't eat anything with hairspray sprayed on it. Amen? But we live in an age of fake. We live in an age where many of us, and some of you come to church this morning, and you might not be the Lego man, but you've got a mask on. I want to say to you as your preacher this morning, in fact, I want to say to me this morning, it's time for us to get real. It's time for us, and I realize when I preach things like this, it might not grow our church, it may not make me the most popular preacher around, but when I read God's Word, what God's Word says to me is, Dallas, be real. Dr. B.R. Lake, you say this, if you can only hit one note on the piano, make sure it's be natural. Be yourself. Be what? Hey, listen, God already knows. We're not fooling anybody. By the way, you're usually not fooling anybody else either, but you're definitely not fooling God. Let me give you some areas that we see in this text and we see in our lives. Let me give you five of these and we'll go home. Number one, it's time for us to get real in the area of salvation. I mean, we got to get real about this thing. Now, I know as we look at this passage here is really dealing about fasting. It's really not dealing about being saved. It's not telling us that you need to be real about salvation. The assumption here is that somebody's going to pray and fast is saved. But let me say this to you this morning. In the average church and across our culture, we need got to get back to preaching about what it really means to be truly saved. I hear folks say they're saved. But if your Christianity don't get you to church, what makes you think it's going to get you to heaven? We're living in a day where everybody says, oh, I'm saved. And I'm saying, well, that's fine. Tell me when you got under conviction of your sin. Tell me when you realized that Jesus Christ died for you and you put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died for you on the cross. We're living in a time now, man, the gospel's become muddier and muddier. They say, well, everybody's going to heaven. We're going different ways. That's not true. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the what? Anybody remember? The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by what? Me. And so we look at, let's get real. We've got to be real, first of all, about salvation. We've got to be honest. We've got to take that mask off. You may come to church and the preacher thinks you're saved and your family may think you're saved. Hey, did you know sometimes even somebody as close to you as your spouse may think you're saved? And you say, well, Brother House, that's awful judgmental. I'm not here to judge, but I think you can inspect. God has said we can be fruit inspectors. As we look around the fruit of many that say they're saved, we have to ask the question, are we sure they're saved? Is it just a salvation mask? And we look on the outside and we know the vernacular, we know the words to use, and we know maybe how to dress or what to say or how to get the preacher to leave. Everybody, by the way, I go on visitation just about every week. I've been on visiting some sort of visit almost every day this week. And one thing that I've learned is this. Everybody in Summers and Mercy County is saved. Nobody needs to get... Now, I don't know why they're going to the bars. And I don't know why they're living like a wicked mess. But everybody says they're saved. You all know and I know that's not true. We wouldn't be living in the wicked mess that we live in if everybody's saved. They truly knew Christ as their Savior. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, one of the things you've got to get rid of is that false mask. Because while we may be fooled, I'm pretty easily fooled. I'm pretty easily fooled. It wouldn't take much for me to fool me. Many of you are easily fooled. Let's just be honest. We like to say we're not fooled, but we are. We don't know. I can't tell a person's heart. I don't know. Can't read that. But let me say something to you this morning. If you have that wrong, you've got it all wrong. You can pray all you want. You can fast all you want. If you don't have your salvation right, if you've got the mask that you're saved, we've got to get real about that. We've got to get real about being saved. Are you sure you're saved? Now, I'm not trying to get you lost. But let me say something to you. You got to get that right. Amen? I mean, that's just fundamental. That's just real simple. I wouldn't be very much of a preacher if I didn't preach about people getting saved. I'm talking about truly being born again from above. I'm not talking about going to shaking the preacher's hand. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about going to some class. I'm talking about putting your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. By grace alone, through Christ alone. That's the only way that you're saved. We've got to put trust and faith in Christ. If you've never done that, then you're not saved. You must be born again. Amen? Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. We must be born from above. We are new creatures in Christ if we're born again. Now, secondly, let's get real about our consecration. Now, let's take another step here. In fact, I'm going to, they say this when they train you how to preach, they call this airdropping verses into your message. So I'm going to airdrop some verses in. Y'all ready? When it comes to being consecrated, it's time to get real. Here's what I read this statement. A guy was talking about our churches are almost like medieval fiefdoms. And we have an allegiance to a distant king. Our churches have some sort of a friendly competition with each other. We come to service. We huddle up in a little group. We get on the road. We run right back to our house in our little group. And we have no impact on our culture whatsoever. Because we're not consecrated and serious about the things of God. And I think our churches have become almost like little clusters. And we just run around doing our little clique and our little group and our little thing. When we serve a great big God that's turning the world. Hey, listen, that could turn the world upside down if we'll be consecrated. I was listening. Y'all mind if I take my jacket off? Y'all be offended? Because I am burning up. Time out. Amen. Time being. I was watching Brother Paul Childers, little girls singing in Italy. And I was watching them sing in Italian. It sounded like little angels. And I thought to myself, Paul's a graduate of PCA here. He's got his children, his family. He's given his family to Italy. They have a great need in that country. And one of the major countries, what they call a Western country in the world, they have a great need there for missionaries. And I thought, God, thank you that somebody somewhere was consecrated and they got serious. They took that mask off. See, here's what happens to us. I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good in my Christian walk. And many of us are not doing as good. Let me give you some verses here that I just want to share with you. You're going to know these, most of these. We talk about consecration. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Romans 12 says, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Many of us act like we're doing God a favor when we show up. Let's get real about it. We really think we're really doing something for God. I look sometimes at my life and say, Lord, are we really sacrificing? Are we really giving? Are we really going? Are we really doing something for God? 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness in his marvelous light. You and I are to show forth the praises. When's the last time you just ran back and praised God for what he's done for you? I know we're Baptists, but we got to get our shout back. A lot of us don't have our shout back because we're not consecrated and serious about the things of God. Man, we ought to be excited and fired up because God has been good to us. Take that mask off and quit worrying about what everybody thinks about you. Hey, and go ahead and praise God. Say, God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for how good you've been. I can go on. In fact, I'm going to go on. The Bible says, for you are bought with a price. Hey, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't belong to you. Did you know that? Amen. You don't belong to you. I don't belong. So I'm going to do what I want to do. Not if you're God's man. Not if you're God's lady. Not if you're God's child. He said, Lord, I don't really like doing that. But God, I'm going to go. I want to serve you. I want to do what you want to do. I want to be consecrated. I want to take off that mask and quit pretending. Quit putting on a show and get serious about it. Get serious about it. Let me go on here. Neither yield ye your members instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Did you know we're not doing God any favors because we live right? You say, man, he's a clean living man. Can I say this? I don't mean this to be sarcastic or mean. So what? We live in a time now, if a young man or young lady is well-mannered, we go, oh man, that's a good boy, good girl. Because they said please And thank you, because we're so ill-mannered that we're really impressed with that. Can I say something to you? If somebody hands you something, you should say, thank you. And if they say to you, thank you, you need to say, you're welcome. Amen. Now, we think that's a big deal. You know why? Because consecration today is so missed, and just common manners is, oh man. Can I say something to you? Just because somebody says thank you and you're welcome, they're not doing anything special. You know, I read an article the other day about, we have replaced your welcome with this, no problem. We don't say you're welcome. I've done that. I do that too. Don't get mad at me. I say, oh, no problem. Because what it is, we are so busy and so hurried in our life, and our agenda is so big that we just say, oh, no problem. Because that's saying, well, I didn't know it was a problem. And it's come into our vernacular because we don't live consecrated lives to God. All we live is about for ourselves. And God's saying here in this word, he said, hey, get real. Because if you're going to fast, you do it between me and you. You don't do it for everybody else. You don't live your Christian life to be seen. It ain't about you. It ain't about your chill bumps. It's about God. Depend on me, he says. That shouts it from the scriptures. The Bible says this in Romans. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of our flesh, of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield ye your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. You got to yield your life to God. You got to say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be serious. I'm going to take this. Don't pretend. By the way, can I say something to you about a mask? A lot of times we wear our masks so long, we don't even realize we got them on. We don't even understand it. We wear the mask so long, if we don't like to peel it. And we wear masks because of insecurity. We wear masks because of putting whatever it may be. There's a lot of reasons we wear a mask. And Satan loves to keep us in that mask. And thought, oh man, we're doing good. We're doing really good. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, wilt thou not despise. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. The Bible, even, I can go on and on, I'll stop there. The Bible talks about they had addicted themselves to the ministry. When you get somebody that's addicted, you'll see who they really are. You're seeing these drug addicts on the street, man. They'll say anything and do anything because they're addicted to something. The Bible speaks about being addicted to God and addicted to the ministry and say, Lord, I can't help myself. Let me tell you something. You'll take off that mask and say, Lord, it's me. Sometimes it takes us going through some serious, serious things before we take off the mask. It takes us some serious times before we get rid of that mask. I wonder this morning, when you get real about salvation, when you get real about consecration. Let me say this thirdly real quick. Look at verse 16. We need to get real this morning about presentation. Look at verse 16. It says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. You'll notice here, there's three words here that we see, three statements made in this verse. It says, sad countenance, disfigure, and may appear. Sad countenance, disfigure, and may appear. I've seen some of these men or women, maybe that maybe they have a crime they commit and are on television. And they'll interview them, and you'll notice they'll act like they're crying, but they don't shed any tears. And people that know how to, you know, to cross-examine somebody, they've learned that a lot of times a narcissist will, they'll act like they're really tore up about it, and they're faking all along. Hard to manufacture tears if you're really not sorry. But they're able to disfigure their face. Have you ever seen little babies do it? We have a little grandson. If he don't get his way, the world's going to come to an end. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you think the world is going to come to an end. And then you pick him up and just like that. How many are I talking about? Hey, let's be honest. Sometimes we're that way with the Lord, aren't we? I'm not getting my way. We were reading in our Sunday school this morning about Psalm 143 when David was going through a very dark valley. And David said, he started praying, said, Lord, I need you to answer this prayer. Lord, I need you to do it quick. Speedily, Lord. And you can just see the sadness. He talked about the darkness that comes. It's time for us to get real about this presentation, though. It's time for us to take that mask off. I was talking about the mask. When we grew up, we had these, some of y'all may have known this back in the 70s when they had them highly flammable, unhealthy masks. Anybody remember those? They had a little hole in them about that big to breathe out. Hey, about the third house in, friend, you see the pictures. You go back in the 70s, you'll see the pictures. You take that mask and it'd be on top of your head. You had to go down, well, I'm Superman tonight. You had to do your head like this. Because you couldn't breathe in that thing. You just said, man, I can't take it. And you flip that mask up. If I had some of y'all wear these are pretty cool masks. But if you wore that thing more than about 10 minutes, you'd be like, okay, that thing's got to come off. I can't see. I can't breathe. I can't hear. This is miserable. Did you know this morning, church, it is miserable to be wearing a mask all the time? I don't have the energy to do it. I was one of them kids. I remember one year as a boy, he was too old, and they wouldn't give him an outfit, so he took his t-shirt and put it over his head. That was his outfit. I remember one year my mom dressed up. She wore black pants and an orange top. She said, this is my Halloween costume. I mean, sometimes I just don't have the energy. Can I say to you, a lot of folks in church, hey, it takes more energy. I can't do it. I don't see how you do it. I don't see how folks do it. I'm not, by the way, I don't know what your mask is. It's between you and the Lord. I'm afraid there's a lot of folks putting on a show. And the Lord's dealing with us right here. Can I say to you, when I was away from the Lord as a backslidden teenager, one of the things that bothered me was I would see folks that would live a certain way, but in private they were totally different way. We all are that way to some extent. And what bothered me even more than that was I was the same way. And I've been on visitation many times and had folks say, well, I would go to church and I would get right and I would get saved, but I just don't like the hypocrites. And let's just be honest about it. We don't really either. But we all got to confess that if we're not careful, we'll have that mask on in our own life, in our own mind. And many of us maybe get upset when we hear a message. In fact, when I read this, I said, Lord, I don't have anybody. I don't have any. But this thing about wearing a mask and putting on a show outwardly, it is fooling nobody. I promise you that, and especially not the Lord. And in fact, it could be the very thing, this presentation that we make, when we have, as the text says, a sad countenance, we disfigure, that we may appear. That could be the very thing that's keeping us walking and talking with God. By the way, have you ever noticed when you pray to God, He'll go right through that? That's why we don't like to pray. You can do a lot. Hey, you can put on a face and do a lot of stuff publicly. When you start praying, though, that mask has got to come off. Because God will say, well, first of all, because He knows our thoughts and intents. He knows who we are between us and Him. In fact, that brings me to my next thing. If you're writing words down, salvation, consecration, presentation, I want you to write this word down. We need to get real about our hesitation. Look at verse 18 with me, would you? That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Shall reward thee openly. The Father, I want you to write, look at this statement. The Father which seeth in secret. Now here's what we've got to be careful about. We have to be very, very careful that we don't forget that God already knows. Amen? We're all prone to this. I'm thinking of a young man several years ago that had gotten in trouble in our Christian school, and I had him in the office, and I knew what he had done. Had already had it all, and I just gave him a chance. And I'm not that I'm God, but just for a few moments, I knew something he didn't know. And I had from what I could gather, all the information about this one situation. And I said, son, I said, is there anything you need to tell me? And I already knew what it was. And he wouldn't tell me. And I said, are you sure? Are you sure? And as I sat there and I watched this young man get broke, I started getting broke. Because I thought, how many times the Lord's come to me and said, son, something you need to get right. Because God already knows my heart. God already knows how wicked I truly am. God already knows us who we really, truly are. I knew just about one situation about this one young man's life and only knew what I knew about it. God knows everything. And you and I need to be very, because I was sitting, I said, now, because I gave him several chances. I said, are you sure that you want to stick with this? Are you sure? And he picked up on it. I was giving him a hint like, don't stick with this. I already know what's going on. By the way, I know some of you ladies, y'all do that to your husbands. You already know what the answer is before you ask us. I've walked into that trap too. Amen. But God really does know who you truly are. And so when we put on that mask, we are really, we think we're fooling our friends, or our neighbors, the preacher, or the church, or co-worker, whatever. But who we're really fooling is not only God, but ourselves. Well, there's a lot of, by the way, even in the secular world, they talk about this in psychology. They talk about these masks that are put on. One of the most prolific serial killers in American history was a man out in, near Kansas City, and he was called the BTK killer. He worked for a security company. Then he worked as a dog catcher. And then he actually was the president of a Lutheran congregation. He had all these masks that he put on, but it wasn't really. He was actually a wicked, horrible, murdering human being. One of the worst that's ever been. A wicked man, but he put on a mask. And people were surprised. By the way, have you ever noticed this? When they interviewed the Las Vegas shooter's brother, he said, "Oh man, they never do tell you, man, he was a weird mess." You ever notice they always say, "Man, he brought a casserole to the church function." It's always so glamorous. "Man, he gave to the kids. He helped during the penny drive. Man, he was down there donating blood during Hurricane Vic." I mean, they'll tell you some glorious, you know why that is? Because he had a mask on. What they're telling you is true. He put on a mask. John Wayne Gacy, the serial murderer, actually dressed as a clown at children's parties and pictured himself as a clown. He put on a mask. There's so many people that put on a mask. You said, "Brother Alice, is this serious?" Hey, we better be very hesitant, because I believe, church, now listen to me. Hey, hang in there now. There's going to people die and go to hell because they got a mask on. They got this mask in their own mind. They're like, "I'm okay." How many times we've knocked on doors and say, "Hey, we'll come here to talk." "I'm all right." I'm sitting there thinking, "Honey, I can tell by looking in your trash can here what you've been doing for the last week. You ain't all right either. I can tell by watching your children, you're not all right. I can look at the expression on your face, you're not all right. And by the way, none of us are all right without God in our life." And people are going to die and go to hell, and people don't even hardly know who they are. I preached many a funeral, and I didn't really know the person. Not really. They'll say, "Oh, did you know this?" "No, I didn't know that. I didn't know they worked 25 years for the federal government, and then they did it. I had no idea. I just thought that was old Mr. So-and-so down the end of the street." "No, he was a operative for the CIA or whatever." You got to be kidding. "No, man, he was a paratrooper and dropped into Vietnam." "What?" "Yeah, it was a secret mission." Whatever it is, I'm making that up, of course. But I hear these stories like, "Man, you got to be kidding me." No. Totally different. We don't really know. We can't know. But let me say something to you. We better be very hesitant in putting on that mask before the Lord. Because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And that mask, that put on that show, that you know, remember, some of y'all remember the O.J. Simpson trial, and he put his hand in the glove, held his hand like this, and it won't fit. You see, you might fool the judge, Ito, and you might fool the media. You might have a crooked lawyer on this earth, but friend, let me tell you something. God sees through all of that. That mask is gone. This thing of putting on a show, I'm worried about what everybody thinks. I'm really worried about what everybody thinks. We got to be hesitant and make sure that we don't, because the Bible says this, the Father which seeth in secret. Now that ought to convict us. A couple years ago, I had a man accuse me of something right to my face, which I appreciate. At least he did to my face. I said, "Sir, you're wrong here." He said, "Well, God knows." And I looked at him and I said, "Yes, God sure does." He will use that as a weapon. I'm like, "Hey, if you know what you've done, you're right before the Lord." He said, "That's exactly right. God sure does. God does know. If your heart's where it ought to be, God does know." David, with all his faults, if you read the Psalms, David, we know, was a man after God's own heart. David knew who he was. The one thing about David is he at least didn't put on a mask. He took that mask off and said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I've sinned against you." We've got to get real. And then the last thing, we've got to get real about our salutation. Here's a great thing. We've got to remember this. See, we wear a mask. When you go trick-or-treating, you wear a mask because you want to get some candy when you're a kid. Am I right? Y'all do know how that works, right? Trick or treat, smell my feet. Give me something sweet to eat. Y'all so old, y'all don't remember that, but anyway. But you wear that mask for a reason. You have masquerade parties, masquerade. I've looked up a lot of things about masquerade, all kinds of things. By the way, the Bible's got more to say about this. I'm just touching the surface of it, being real. But we wear it for a reason. We're hiding something. I mean, there's a reason that the bank robber puts pantyhose over his head. Smashes his face in because he wants to be, as the word, disfigured. He doesn't want to see who he really is. They're really disfigured. By the way, I saw this new drug out of Brazil, and it showed these people just writhing around. The disfigurement of the faces because of drugs in America is unbelievable. They're totally disfigured. And here's what I'm saying, church. Here's what we're wanting. We're putting this on because we're really wanting something to go our way. We're wanting something good. If I put this mask on, I put on my fakeness, I put this mask on in my life, then a person will like me, or I'll get along, or I'll get this, or I'll get that. By the way, it's men and women, young and old, don't matter who you are. But I want you to notice what the text says, though. I mean, look, here's what happens. If a man's fasting and he's not ate, and he comes in and his eyes looks all sad, or a woman don't put her makeup on, or let your hair be disheveled, and you don't sleep because you've been praying, you have that look like, look at me. You just figure face, oh man, what's going on? He's fasting. And the Lord is saying, don't do this. Don't be fake. And then he gives us a promise, though. Look what it says at the very end of the text. It says, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. I remember as a kid, we always wanted to go to the houses that give him big candy bars. The big Snicker bars. That's the big ones, right? I mean, that was my mama used to make him homemade popcorn balls. Kids would line up to get them. You couldn't do that today. I'm talking about that old-time molasses. You know them old-timey popcorn balls? Like hurt your teeth for 3 days when you ate them? There's so much sugar in them. Loved them things. And man, that was the good. You had the houses you knew was going to get the good stuff. Let me say something to you, church. There's no mask you can put on in this world that's going to reward you the way that God is going to reward you. There's nothing in this. And Jesus is saying to his followers here, the Lord shall reward you. Hey, you do what you want with God secretly, and God will take care of it. I've went through some trouble. I've had some attacks. I've had people say things. I know how it feels to want to put on that mask. But I've had to say, God, I'm going to stay right in private with you and let you take care of it. I can't say I've always done that. I can't say I've always been right about it. But I know this. If you want God's blessing on your life, you have got to get rid of the mask. Because God knows all about it. In fact, we're living in a time now, and I even see preachers doing this. They'll take pictures of people praying at the altar, and I'm like, I just don't feel comfortable with that. I'm going to tell you why. Because the Lord will take care of that. I remember a message, well, I spent so many hours in prayer. This one spent so many hours in prayer. It's nobody's business how many hours you spend in prayer. That's between you and God. You ought to be a secret thing. It's not like, look at me, I'm so godly. Boy, he's real spiritual, man. Look at him. No, look at Christ. It's time for us to take off this spiritual. Oh, brother, now, man, you're a godly man. Well, no, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm just pointing you to a God that loves us and cares for us. And right here, our Savior is saying to us, the Lord shall reward thee openly. Because hey, you're wearing that mask to get the Snicker bars of life, to somebody to think good of you, somebody to talk good about you, somebody to fake that you're something that you're not. And the truth of the matter is, you think, well, if I do that, then everything's going to be all right. If I put on this mask, you know, sometimes I hear people, they'll visit our church and say, well, they want a church that's more fiery. So I think, well, Lord, I'll be more fiery. Well, they want a church that's more serious. Lord, I'll be more serious. And I try to put on my own mask sometimes, even as a pastor, as a preacher. When the Lord says, you come to me, you take off your mask, and you let me take care of your life. Mom, take off the mom mask. Be a godly woman. Dad, take off the dad mask. Preacher, take off the preacher mask. Hey, it's time for us, church, this morning to take off whatever mask that is and say, Lord, now I'm going to be honest with you. When you take that thing off, it's a transition. Because many times, Hey, we like putting that mask back on. Many times we put the mask on, we're like a totally different person. I used to work for a company that actually delivered balloons and flowers. And employees of this company, which I was one of them, would dress up as Zorro. I was a skinnier Zorro. They don't like fun. Or a gorilla, which I was most of the time. And I got to where, if I got in a gorilla, I watched gorillas. I got to where I could walk. I can still do that, actually. I could walk and mimic a gorilla. I'd walk in with balloon and people, and I was like a different person in that outfit. I put black around my eyes. And I'd walk in like this, you know. And people, I remember my grandma was dying in the hospital. In room 209, Princeton Hospital. And I came in there to see my grandma in that monkey outfit. And you know, I came in there and I mentioned that. And my mom always says, "Buddy," that's my name, I said, "Buddy, quit." I was different. I took that to my mom's message. I know what you mean. Let me tell you something, church. Hey, I was a different guy in the past. I was crazy, silly, I felt candy. I was at the Princeton Parade one year. I went all through the parade. That's all I did. I was by the city of Princeton. I was a gorilla. He was there about 1989. That was me. Running around crazy. Hey, I put that on. I said, "Can I say something to you?" That wasn't really me. That was an outfit. That was something I was putting on. Did you know that some people have a mask and they're crying? And they're behind their mask. And some of you this morning, man, you got tears behind that mask. There was some days I'd go and I'd be a crazy monkey, crazy gorilla. And man, I was hurt or I was sad. My grandma was dying. One reason I wore that outfit that day, I didn't want her to see me. I couldn't take it. She was the sweetest thing in my life. And I remember sitting there praying, but boy, I wasn't even in the ministry, and I remember sitting there praying, "God, do something." I can take you to that room right now. I never will forget. Now, you know your heart. You know your life this morning. Maybe you be honest about it before the Lord.
You've had a mask. You've wore that gorilla outfit, and everybody thinks everything's all right. I may think it's all right. Even your own loved ones may think it's all right. But the Lord knows who you are in secret. This is one of the messages. I want you to go home today. You don't even have to come forward to an altar. I want you to go home today. I want you to think this week, Lord, who am I really before you? Who are you before God? Let's everybody stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our people and their attention.